Morning.
Is this on?
No.
Can y'all hear me anyway?
Yeah.
I know I can hear you.
Steve.
I like press and hold the button.
Press and
hold
the
button.
The bottom.
In the bottom?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, this is not what I'm used to. I'm used to doing this without a microphone, but good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
When COVID called me Wednesday, I was at work, and he kind of explained to me what he wanted to do, and he asked me if I would do this. I said, sure. He said instead of having somebody actually preach this day while they were gone, he wanted to give everybody an opportunity to just talk a little bit about something specific maybe this year that God's done that really kind of had an impact on me. And that's kind of what he wanted everybody to do this morning. He's gave everybody a list of who he wants up here to do this, and a time limit. Yes.
We don't
do well with those. See, that's why I brought my phone, literally. I have a stopwatch on here. I'm literally going to start it, because the time is the anxiety part for me. Anyway, what I'd like to talk about this morning, just briefly, is this year, and it's nothing new to me, it's just been kind of like reinforced again this year. I know we have a lot of new people that have come in this year to this church. And if you haven't realized it yet, God has done an amazing thing, and he continues to do this everywhere. I know it's not just here. But to take so many different people from so many different cultures, different backgrounds, different racial groups, different everything. Things that we've been through in life, the trials we've had, the things we've had, the experiences, the ups and downs. Everybody has walked a different path and came from different places. But yet he has this unique ability to take everybody and put them together in one group and make it a family.
Yeah.
That, to me, this year has been something that's been reinforced again.
Yeah.
And I'm really super grateful that I get to be here and call this family. Because people that may not have realized it yet, if you haven't been here that long, if somebody in here has a problem or an issue or is going through something, everybody in here has it.
Yeah.
Like literally, your issue becomes everybody's issue. And not in a bad, judgmental way, like it may be in some places, but in a good way. Not so many months back, and a lot of you know this, I went through a period that I've never went through before. Mentally, that just, I can't even say in the last 12 years since I've been out, that I've ever experienced something that was quite that difficult. Literally sat on my bed at night and cried and said, "You're not okay." Never have I experienced something like that. And I don't know why God allowed me to go through it, but he did. Usually it's because he wants you to experience something so you can help somebody else down the road, because you've actually walked down that road and you know what it feels like. That's why I think he allowed me to do it. But the point that I want to stress is the family here. The people in this room that I call my family continually prayed for me. I want to say thank you to everybody, because I know everybody in here that knew what was going on was praying for me. And I truly believe that's one of the only reasons I made it through it. And there are some, I won't go through a whole list because there's too many, that constantly reached out to me, sent me text messages, called me, stopped me, asked me, "How you doing? Is there anything we can do for you?" And they know who they are. There's people that I had such anxiety that I couldn't even like come to church. I would get here in the parking lot and sit in my car and just couldn't do it and turn around and drive away. I've walked in and got through part of worship and tried to like slip out the door and go away, and somebody chased me down in the parking lot one night. And called my name and said, "Hey, where are you going?" And I thought I'd got away. And I said, "I'm going home." And he said, "Well, can I get a hug before you go?" And I said, "Yeah." I can't express how much that means to me and how much it meant to me, because I honestly don't think I would have got through this if it wasn't for this family. And the family aspect of this church is so impressive that God can do what he's done. Thank you.
He's kind of set me up for, you know, one of the things that really has been on my heart is prayer. And this, when Cody first approached me about this today, Steve was with me. As soon as I got the phone, I just got really emotional, because it was like, just talk about something in the last year that was encouraging. And I thought, man, I felt like I had nothing. But that's not true. The last year, as many of you know, has been full of challenges for me. Challenges I've never faced before. Mostly physical and health things. But God blessed me with this family of people in a small group. Whew. God knew what people I needed in my small group. He knew I needed prayers. Prayers. The prayers from prayers. And because there were times, as you know, and I'll be honest, I'm still going through some of this stuff, trying to figure out, you know, what's next. But I just leaned into the prayer. Pray for everything. Nothing is too silly. Pray for the big things, for the small things. I've leaned into prayer life to the point where I'm driving. If I'm not in a conversation actively with someone else, I'm talking to God. And I encourage you to develop that habit, because it's what sustains you. And I know that God's plan is good for me. And pray for discernment and vision and wisdom to know what those plans are, and constantly look for those plans. I listened to the music this morning. So many things in the music that say what I'm saying. God's plan is better than our plan. We all have a plan for what we think our life should look like, but rarely is that the same as God's plan. Pray for God's plan to be revealed to you. Pray for God's timing. I don't know where I'm at in my time, but the one thing I want to make sure I say is, because we talk so much about God's plan and prayer, the devil has a plan for you too. Make no mistake, the devil has a plan. But the blood of Jesus has power to overcome those plans. So pray for wisdom and vision, and take advantage of this family that we have that believes so strongly in prayer.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Andrew.
Heather.
So Cody came to us Christmas Eve service, and I really don't know what he was asking me. He just said something. Hey, you get up on Sunday and talk about what the, in my mind, he said, what the church has done for us. He probably could have said something about testimony or something like that, but I just said, sure. So I'm going to talk about what this church means to me and Heather.
Yes.
And God gave us this community, which is a praying church. We talk about it every Sunday right in the beginning. The first thing, pray for each other. And it's a big praying church. And I can tell by when my phone goes ding, 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 it's not, it means somebody in our small group is asking for prayer. And as soon as that happens, the phone is just blowing up. People stop doing what they're doing and they're praying for their brother or sister. Our small group, which is led by Shireen, who is an amazing small group leader, who took the time to have us get together even when small group was taking a break, which meant a lot to me and Heather, that we were able to fellowship outside of the small group time. God gave us this place to serve with a food distribution that happens once a month, the back to school event, which means a lot to me and Heather, which goes back to us praying, because those prayer cards that we got for back to school is on our fridge, and every morning when I'm making our tea, I get to see that and we get to pray. God gave us a place to learn His Word through Pastor Cody, who is an amazing teacher who breaks it down for us.
Yes.
We could call him, text him, ask him questions, talk after service, before service. He's always available, and that's just a great teacher.
Amen.
And God gave us a place to worship. I remember in the beginning, Bart's team, very small. And then last week was 10 people on the stage.
Yes.
It's like the Jackson 5 up here. And the songs that we sing are very biblical and scripture, and it's amazing. And then, God gave us first fruits, which we love. And that's it for me.
Church and praying for our family and everything for this new year, praying for Alyssa and everything. And from the old church that we come from, we never had this close of a family as in this church it is right here now. And I thank everybody for that. Y'all pray for us. Y'all pray for everybody. Thank you for that, and I really appreciate it.
Now you look big mouth, take over. First of all, I want to thank God for my salvation, number one. And I'm so thankful to be here, and we love it here. And I also want to thank God that there's just so many things that He has done for me, taking away the alcohol, the drugs, and I'm 924 days clean and sober today. Good enough. That's all Him. Because I've tried and I have failed and failed. I gave it to Him 924 days, and it'll be more because He's not going to let me fail. I just thank y'all for letting us get up here. I pray to be here many, many years. We are thankful to do the things that we're able to do around here, and we just love y'all and appreciate everything y'all do, and thank y'all.
Thank you, Shannon and Brian, for everything y'all do for us, and Pastor Cody and David. So thank y'all very much.
All right. So Cody asked me last night. So I didn't write anything down or prepare anything, which I really don't need to. This church, okay, I'll start off by saying I've never been a part of a church ever. I wasn't raised in church. My family didn't go to church. And for a long time, I didn't want to. Even as a believer. So this is my first home church. This is my first home inside of the body of Christ. It's also mine and my wife's first home together inside of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And so I'm very thankful for this church. It's special to me for many. There's a lot of reasons why. Now I could go on and on about testimonial things of what God has done for me and my wife. I mean, we did drugs together. We broke the law together. You know, me and her have been both been through it. And God delivered us from that. He did.
Yeah.
And I 4 minutes ain't enough, you know, for me to get into all of that. But I want to say, just over the past year, I've been reading the book of Hosea a lot. And I was reading it this morning. And you know, in the book of Hosea, the Lord tells Hosea to marry a harlot. He tells Hosea to marry a woman. Just listen to what I'm saying. Just listen to what I'm saying. He tells him to marry a woman that he knows will be unfaithful, that he knows will betray him over and over and over. But he does that because he's showing Hosea how he feels towards Israel.
Amen.
And how faithful he is, even though we betray him. And so I think to myself as I'm reading that, if it wasn't for the trials and tribulations that we find ourselves in, Steve talking about his depression, and all the other things that you hear around this room, how else do we know God's grace and mercy? And how else does he show himself strong and mighty to save if we don't have these times? So he used that with Hosea, and just like with me and my wife, he's used these times. And man, I look back and I'm so grateful. I mean, just recently, you know, I'm more grateful because it's the only thing that really matters, and it's the only thing that brought us towards him. But just this year, I see her and she sees me, and it's very crazy to look at somebody and see God's transformative power in them.
Wow.
Right? So we're married, we were both two completely different people. And if you're like me, I have this tendency to have problems resting in things that God gives me, because just like everything else, I think, well, it's going to go away pretty soon. It only lasts for so long. So I have a problem resting in things. And I'm pretty sure she does too. But there's just a couple little instances, you know, like Ezekiel says, I'll remove your heart of stone and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And me and her get put in situations, and we've noticed it. And I've really been paying attention to it recently, where our hearts have changed. And God's done mighty things and all these financial things and provision and deliverance from drugs and all them things. But I'm finding that the most important of them things is the work that he's done inside of us.
Yes.
So we have situations and different things that arise in our marriage and with our family, and we handle them differently.
Amen.
And it's security when I see her handle something differently, or she sees me handle something differently. Because it proves God's transformation. And I see his power in her, and she sees his power in me. And for the first time, I'm finally figuring out how to rest in what God has done.
Amen.
Instead of worrying about everything being reversed back to the way it was.
Amen.
So the heart thing, man, this year, it's caused me to really look at my heart, and I see change, man. I see a real change for the first time. And I'm grateful for that.
I wasn't originally going to say much. I was just going to stand here. But you're welcome, Corey, because I was timing other people, and you're going to have some time at the end. Sorry, Tiff. but all of that being said, in the changing of our hearts, I have found where wisdoms that I give to other people about having wise counsel and having building a foundation of people that you can talk with, that can give you their wisdom, you know, and I have that here. And I didn't understand how much I needed that, because again, neither one of us have ever had, even our families, you know, we grew a distance too, and then, and or if we didn't have a distance there, they weren't wise in those ways. They weren't healthy for us. And so being here has not only given us that those people to call on, and there's been moments where I have literally just been tossing in, and I'm like, man, what do I do? And I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to call the people that I know to call, and that's been my family here. I've called numerous people, with different things about different situations, and I'm blessed, especially coming from a larger family where none of those people I felt like I could really call on for those kinds of things. And my children have a home and a safety in their friendships here. This was the building that me and my husband were married in. And so that will forever be. And not only will that forever be, but there were people we didn't really know. We had only been here a few months, barely. And everyone didn't just stepped out and was there for us and put in for us. We had the idea of we'll just do a little small something and we'll wear the dress because my family wants us to and we'll just get it done. And it turned into something far beyond we could have ever imagined. So it literally, the greatness of God in this building and for us in this place is the foundation to our future. And so I'm super grateful for every person who has prayed for us, every person who has hugged us, every person who plays with my children, every person who lets me love them and lets me love on their children. And I am grateful and blessed to be called y'all's sister and that y'all are my brothers and sisters.
Good mornings, but good morning. Amen. I am so excited because this is the last Sunday of this year, 2025, and I get to share with Tiff, Matt, Shannon. I'm going to try to do everybody's name. Everybody on this side, everybody in the middle, everybody on this side, and Brother Dave. That's such a blessing that I'm here at First Fruit Family, and I'm so thankful for that. Prior to coming to First Fruit Family, I served in another church for over 20 years, and I think I did everything in that church except being a greeter. I said I would never be a greeter. That was one of the things. That's just not my cup of tea. I would not do it. But God opened a door where, in the end of 2024, I asked Pastor Cody about it, and then this year, God blessed me with a team of greeters, and I'm just so thankful for my team, Sister Darnielle, and then Dawn, who's not here, and I wrote the name down. I'm like, both of their first names, Dawn. Oh, she got Darnielle. I'm like, isn't that God? Isn't that just beautiful? And then I have Brother Michael, who's on the team, and so now, as a greeter, I'm so thankful because now I sort of like hold up the line because I got to get a hug from Andrew and a hug from Steve and a hug from this person. And it's such a blessing because I get to share that with the family that I do love. And then also, during this year, I continue with an organization called Better Together, which is mentoring mothers who has fallen on hard times. And we probably all could say we've fallen on hard times. And I thank God for allowing me to continue to mentor because, you know, when you have your time and you already got stuff going on and you have grandkids and you have kids and, you know, and sometimes it means you have to give out of your substance to be a blessing to others. And that's something that I have grown in tremendously this year, and that is the gift of giving. And, you know, when you got your own money, you know, this is my money, you know, when I see tithe and offering, I don't want to have to think about the JEA bill, and I don't want to have to think about the mortgage. But what I think about now, because of the grace of God, is I get the opportunity to sow into the community. I get the opportunity to be a blessing to others. And that's how God has really moved on my heart. And then in the place of serving, you know, I already serve at home and
Then you got to come to church and serve, and then you got to serve the community, and everybody want a piece of you, and when do I get some rest? But God has changed my heart and softened my heart that I enjoy serving at our food distribution, and I enjoy serving as a greeter, and I enjoy serving in the community, and it's just such a blessing what God is doing in my life, and I just love him. I love God. I love Jesus. I love Holy Spirit. I love God. And I love Pastor Cody for the teaching that brought me to this place where I'm like comfortable in it. It's like, this is my, you know, my place. This is where I belong. It's not, I don't feel outside or someone looking in. I feel like, yeah, this is me. This is where I belong. And I thank God for that. And I love you all.
Amen.
And I was in the hospital, I was going to jail, and it was a testimony that officers, and I hated officers with passion. Everybody that's been down that road don't like officers, you know. And he didn't know I was awake. He don't know this today, but I'm saved because of his testimony that he's talked about how his daughter had mental issues. I had mental issues, of course, suicidal, drug issues, but I wouldn't be here today, and then if it wasn't for my brother, I wouldn't be in CRM. He found it, and then Cody, I really was going to leave CRM. I was just going to leave the second day I was there, and I seen Cody the Monday prior of me being there. I listened to his teaching, and I was just like, wow, you know. I just realized that his teaching was, it was genuine and truth and love, how he talked to us. That being said, God's timing is never late, you know. I've met several people this year. One was my coworker a couple days ago, in which I didn't really talk to him, and then we had a conversation, and I saw this tattoo, and I was like, man, that's a nice tattoo, you know, a lion and cross, three crosses, and we just started talking, and now I have a friend at work that I talk to about God all the time, and it's amazing. Again, there's all kinds of things that God's done for me. His goodness. If it wasn't for his goodness, I wouldn't be at work. I wouldn't be here. I would be doing other things. So, that being said, that's all I got.
Instructions that we were given were just slightly different. For the sake of church and for the sake of time, we'll kind of save some of the yucky details. But we able to get that picture, Mr. Brian? Look at that! Look at those gems. So that we weren't even bad then. It hadn't even gotten bad yet. That was when we were good, when things were going okay, and we had money to go to the theme park. Anywho's, so our story in regards to this church, started at City Rescue Mission. When I went to City Rescue Mission, I met Pastor Cody. I got to City Rescue Mission because the policeman said I couldn't come home anymore. Not nice. And I waited a couple days, and sure enough, Tiffany stood her ground and decided that change needed to take place, a real change needed to take place. And I went to City Rescue Mission. And same as Quentin, I was out. I was like, man, I've done this before. And it was like my 130th time in a rehab. I was so, so over it. And I talked to Cody. And I went to a Bible study on Monday night. And I thought, you know what, man, that's a good Bible study. I'll stay an extra week just so I can, you know, that way I can talk to the guy and see what's up. And he gave me his card. And when he gave me his card, I called him every single day. And because of Cody, I learned how to love Jesus. And it drew me in to the church, and it drew us into the church. And when we started coming on Thursday nights, Sandy and Bart would not let us go without saying hello, without giving us a hug, without inviting us. They would block the door. We would get invited to their house and invited to SeaWorld and to the park, and like that saved my life. Like, seriously, looking back now, man. We didn't know what to do or how to do it. We just knew that we wanted to be like Bart and Sandy and Mr. Ryan and Shane. And I'm being dead serious, man, for real. I didn't learn how to be a man until I watched Mr. Ryan. And I didn't. I got high for the first time with my dad when I was 12. And my dad taught me how to smoke crack and how to be a crackhead and how to do all of the things that a crackhead does. And Mr. Ryan taught me how to be a man. And I'm so thankful for you, and I'm so thankful for this church. Because of this church, Sophia has never seen me high. She's never seen me drunk. Gracie doesn't even know what a beer looks like. Andrew couldn't even point it out if we walked into the store. My children know me as father, as friend, as disciplinarian for sure, but not like dictator. They know me as dad. They know me as somebody who loves them and who isn't freaking out because of something that they may have done. I'm so thankful today that I could be honest with you guys. And I can say, man, I'm having a bad mental health day, and James goes out of his way to give me his number and tell me that it's all right. Like, I love this church so much. That's it. I'm just so thankful. That's it. Thank you.
Seeing all like the different ways Cody asks us to do this, and they're horribly different. But it was like, give your testimony. I'm like, sweet. I'm like, how long? He goes, 4 minutes. I'm like, no. So I'm gonna give y'all kind of the most recent little tidbit here of my testimony. I'm doing a little seat here. I'm gonna click a little timer. So something I've kind of learned lately, for those that don't know, I got promoted to the library. I'm working full time there now, but it's really great. I love that job. It's definitely where God wants me, but it was really hard because I had to leave my position on hall leadership. I loved that job. I loved being with the guys, and it paid for school, too, for most of it, so it made sense for me to stay on the hall. So something I kind of learned was contentment and complacency. And so something that really helped me was Philippians. Now, this might be the verse you see tattooed on someone's arm because they thought it was a cute little 20 Bible verse, but... I'm going to read this real quick. This is context. Paul's in jail. Life's not super great if you've ever been to jail. Especially back then. Jail wasn't super great. So, okay, Steve. So this says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at length, you have received your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance, and need. All I can do, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, that sounds cool and all, but when you realize that Paul was in jail, that's really interesting. Because it's easy to say that when life's great, when life's awesome, but when you're in life, the lowest of the low, and it's taking advantage of the opportunity, being complacent in your being content in your complacency, saying yes to God and being content with that. Because on the flip side, you can be like Jonah. Most people know the story of Jonah and how he went to Nineveh and it was great and he preached to the people. But people forget that he still wasn't really happy after that. He was never content with his complacency and he was angry. And we don't really know the last part of it. Upset that he was just angry about it. He wanted to die. He started cursing a leaf that was put of his head from God. He was angry where he was at. So something that was really helpful for me was seeing how Paul dealt with his complacency and seeing how Jonah dealt with his complacency. Because regardless, they both went and did what God needed them to do, but they handled it with a very different mindset. And people will notice if you have the mindset of a Jonah or a Paul in handling a situation. So I wrote this down. Follow instruction from God regardless. That's easy, but treat it like Paul. Be content with the Lord's work and trust him with the rest. You can either question or complain about the situation, rather an opportunity given from God, or you can seek God in contentment in pursuit of his will for your placement. So it was just really helpful for me to see that. In this new transition, I wasn't sure. It was like, oh man, this is a big jump. On paper, everything's like super fine and cool. And it's probably great for me to stay on the hall and instead of making this jump to a big boy job that I have to wear a quarter zip to work and it's gross and I don't like it. But it's different. But I think just being content with being like, man, this is where God wants me. Yeah. And so I shouldn't complain about that. And I should be content. And that will be a light to people that might have that little Jonah mindset that they might not be too happy about where they're at in life. They might not be too happy with where they're at. Like, well, God wants me here. I guess I'll just keep doing it. It's like, no, I get to be here. God has me here, so I'm going to keep following through with that. So that's kind of the recent little thing of my testimony. That's all I got. Thank you.
Briefly mentioned to me last week and said he'll text us early on in the week. And I took that as like, when you text me, then I'll start preparing. Well, he texted me yesterday afternoon. So I was like, oh, I forgot about that. So anyway, I took some notes. I'm a takeaway guy, so I need some takeaways. Because it's important that I think that the main thing that I believe that this church has provided for every person that's come up here and every person that's in this crowd is acceptance. Love, a family, a placement, knowing that we are loved by God. And before I jump into the brief part of my testimony, I thank God for Cody daily. I thank God for Dave. I thank God for the way that he brought me to this place. And it's crazy because the people that you're seeing before you this morning, one of them doesn't even know it, but Matt. Matt came, you talked about how he met Cody at CRM and stayed at CRM for that reason and started learning from Cody. Well, when I got to CRM, one of the first weeks I was there, they asked Matt to come in and give his testimony. And it was Cody and Daniel and Matt. And Matt shared part of his story. And I looked at the dude and I didn't really know many of the people, but it's also God's greatness that the people that I did know that I latched onto are looking at me in the crowd right now. One of them's James, one of them's Quentin, and one of them's Robert, who's not here this morning. And I'm just so grateful that he put these men in my life. And obviously his timing is perfect, like Quentin said. But Matt saw Cody at CRM because of Cody's Bible study, which Shireen mentioned praying for God's timing. Andrew mentioned it's a place to learn his word. Chris and Danielle had handwritten letters. Danielle gave me a handwritten letter this year for Christmas. And two Christmases ago, before I went into City Rescue Mission, I had no contact with anybody. My family had completely cut contact with me. And I was sitting in a room, high on meth, and completely out of my mind, and didn't know how my life had gotten to where it was and where it was going to go. And I was deathly afraid of what was happening. And because of that, it started a long time ago from when my mother had abandoned me as a child, and the whole reason, what I find now is that my life story that God has been creating has been forging through, creating the character in me, and showing me that the family that he has for me has always been around me. He's always put it there for me. And I'm grateful for the men and the women in this church that wrap their arms around me. Shannon, every morning when I saw her come into this church, Sharon, sorry, her smile and her opening her arms and giving everybody a hug, to me, it's little things like that. And James and Amy mentioned deliverance and how faithful God is. Shireen, I already mentioned to her, but Steve, you said at the beginning that your problems become our problems, and he allows us to go through these. So allowing us to go through them, it's a perspective and a lens that I never looked through the right way. He allows us to go through things that we go through so we can then spread his word, right? To use our testimony or our intersection with him to be able to bring others and draw others into God. And I'm just so grateful for this family, for the effort that they went through. When I first came to this church, I came up to Bart one night, and I was like, man, you don't have anybody playing that box drum. I played box drum. I said, oh, yeah, I really won't. I guess we should. And sure enough, I became involved and included. Again, another aspect of being included in a loving family. And I just can't say how grateful I am. So I'm probably bouncing around, but there's two things that I wanted to say. I was reading in Luke. I was doing my study, and a couple weeks ago, as I was finishing up in Luke, Luke chapter 19 talks about the parable of the 10 minas. I think that's how you say it. And what it got to my heart was that, what are you doing with your gifts and talents that God has given you, right? And Cody mentioned it, I think it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, that we are all given unique gifts and talents. And for so long, I discarded those. I didn't recognize them. I thought that I was left out, if you will, of things, because I was always looking to the world and looking to the wrong groups of people and trying to gain acceptance. Like I mentioned about my mother having left as a child, I'm always trying to find a way to fit in with people in the groups, right? And I became a chameleon for a long time. And that led to, which a lot of people here on this stage have mentioned, rehabs, overdoses, and jail cells. And until I bowed my knee to God and completely surrendered and put my hands up, did I find acceptance? Did I find the love? Did I accept that I've always been taken care of through everything and every moment of my life? And I'm grateful to God for that. And there's one last thing that I'm going to share. So I'm leaving here in 3 weeks. I'm moving to Nicaragua. And I was given a job to work with a ministry in Nicaragua and live there full time. And by God's grace, they gave me that. And so yeah, as it will be kind of difficult to part from here, having you guys, having this family, and as has been mentioned, the prayer and the acceptance and the love of this place, it has gotten me through more difficult times in the last year of my life than I can tell you. And I got to come to this church and watch my good friends get married here, and I got to watch a man and see how it's supposed to be from what we were like in the ways of the world to what it is like, and like what he just described up here, how the change in the heart is shown through, you can see it in the other person. And I see that around us all the time, and I believe that God is also doing it in my heart. And so I want to leave my last 30 seconds off with the Lord's grace to Paul from 1 Timothy. It says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me the strength that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might be displayed his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Praise out.
Yeah. All right. All right, guys, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you, Father. I'm so grateful for you, God. You deserve all of the honor, all of the glory, and all of the praise, and all of our worship, Lord. What you have done in the body of your loving Son in bringing these people together here, Lord, through all of the trials, all the tribulations that we've all experienced, it's all been our time in the forest, as David was, learning how to sling, to shoot our shots, God, and to persevere, so when the giants really did come, Lord, we could all stand together and stand firm on our foundation of your love, Father. Yes. Yes. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for us, yes, for doing what we could not do, living a life we could not live, because we don't need second chances. We're only going to screw them up, God. We needed a Savior, and we're so grateful for you, Father. I love you, God. I love this family. And to your word, we all live by, Father.